Welcome, Voltron fans, to another exciting podcast with another exciting guest, which will rock your core being with Altaian green goo and feed your soul with a helping of a knockdown, drag-it-out food fight that will enable us to form Voltron. Okay, Greg, take a drink. Ladies and gentlemen, my co-host Greg Tyler.
Thank you, Mark Morrell. It's great to be here as always. This is an exciting episode. They've all been exciting lately, haven't they, Mark? Not that we're biased.
No, we're not biased at all.
Not
having voice actors from Voltron Legendary Defender every week, you know, it's getting like old hat, isn't it?
Oh, golly, yeah. Gee, who will we have next time? But yeah, this is a fun one. Excited to be here as always. Welcome, Voltron fans, old and new. Voltron Legendary Defender continues to be the hot thing among fans on Netflix. Exciting times now and in the future. This is good stuff.
And of course, we wouldn't want to downplay any single voice actor's appearance on our show because each and every single one of the voice actors that's involved in Voltron Legendary Defender plays an important part on this show.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yes. Whether they have, you know, fewer lines or whether, you know, their character isn't as big a character, it doesn't matter to us. They're all important to us because we've been following these characters for over 30 years.
Yeah. And these characters, we'll probably be following these characters for 30 years, eh?
Yes. Yes. So every single guest that we have on here is equally as important.
Absolutely.
So can you believe the response that we got from the Voltron fans on our Neil Kaplan podcast?
No, it's been pretty awesome. Neil Kaplan was a great guest. Obviously, we all had fun chatting with him, and it seems like fans really took to him as well.
Yeah, so first we were breaking records with Josh Keaton. You know, when the voice of Shiro came on and wow, just the amount of people that have listened to that podcast. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Now we're breaking even more records with Neil Kaplan.
Go, you know, let's Voltron go.
His very first day was the biggest day we've ever had.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was amazing. And now, you know, the fans love Voltron Legendary Defender. They love the cast. And tonight we have another amazing member of the cast here to talk about Princess Allura and Season 1 of Voltron Legendary Defender.
Yeah, Kimberly Brooks. Is that amazing or what?
Right. Now, Greg, before we do that, I have to tell all the Voltron fans about something we're expecting to see at San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay, what you got?
Because when this episode releases, we'll be right in the middle of it.
Ah.
Okay.
Yes, let's do the time warp again.
Yes. All right, so... Okay.
Party on, Mark.
Party on, Wayne. All right, Greg. First, there's a DreamWorks Voltron Legendary Defender panel with Lauren Montgomery, Joaquin Dos Santos, and Tim Hedrick.
Great.
Born Voltron, executive producer Joaquin Dos Santos, co-executive producer Lauren Montgomery, and head writer Tim Hedrick dive deep into the epic first season of the critically acclaimed Netflix original series Voltron Legendary Defender. They'll come ready to answer all your burning questions with an extended fan question and answer session, even offer a sneak peek of what's next for the Paladins of Voltron.
Cool!
And all panel attendees will receive an exclusive limited edition Voltron lithograph.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's the same lithograph that they had at WonderCon or if this one's a completely different one. I'm hoping it's different.
Yeah, wow, that's exciting stuff.
So this panel will be Thursday, July 21st from 3 to 4 p.m. in room 7AB. And like I said, this may have already happened by the time we release this podcast.
Yeah.
So, the other panel that I want to talk about is a panel that just Lauren Montgomery is going to be in.
Okay.
As well as a bunch of other people. So, this one is called Cartoon Creatives, Women Power in Animation. This one is going to be Thursday, July 21st from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. and it's in room 24 ABC. And here's the description on this one.
All right.
While Women in Animation's initiative strives to have a 50-50 workforce in the animation world by 2025, there are women leading the charge right now, creating, innovating, and guiding cartoons to a future filled with talent that goes beyond gender, and their fans are loving every minute of it. Scheduled to appear are Lauren Faust, creator of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, Brooke Kiesling, director of animation talent development at Disney TV Animation, Lauren Montgomery, co-executive producer of Voltron Legendary Defender, Stevie Wormer Skelton, co-director of the upcoming Frozen Holiday Special, Gina Shea, producer of the upcoming Trolls, Katie Krentz, senior director of development at Cartoon Network for Steven Universe, Darren Nefcy, creator and executive producer of Star vs. the Forces of Evil, and Marge Dean, co-president of Women in Animation, talking about their experiences and upcoming projects.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
So this was slash is slash will be a great weekend.
Yeah.
Again, depending on how the time warps.
Right. And in addition to those two panels that include Lauren Montgomery, we will also be checking out, of course, the Bandai booth for that Soul of Chogokin Voltron Go Lion.
Oh, I want to see that so badly.
And I previously mentioned also that there's a Voltron dress that we saw online from Nuvango, designed by Robert Xavier Burden. And, of course, whatever else surprise Voltron items we might see in San Diego.
That's so cool. What a weekend.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that greatly, obviously.
And yeah.
Hoping that we can maybe get an interview or two out of it. And then also all that coverage and everything I'll bring back with us, and we can talk about it on the podcast.
That's cool. So once again, to clarify for fans, this may sound like lather, rinse, repeat. I will not be at San Diego Comic-Con, but Mark will. We're hoping to change that a bit later this year for New York Comic-Con. We'll see how that plays out.
Right. Now, you had another Lego project you wanted to talk about?
Two, actually. Our friend Lendi Tayog, whom we'd spoken with pretty recently about his classic style 80s Voltron that he had done on the Lego Ideas site, the one that reached 10,000 supporters and will, we believe, be under consideration as a possible real product later this year. He has two other projects in the works for Voltron Legendary Defender. The first of them is a bust of Voltron, and it seems to change into the head of Black Lion. It's got a compartment inside and a Shiro minifig that fits inside the head. That is going on right now. And more recently, very recently, in fact, is a fully transformable Voltron from Voltron Legendary Defender. It separates into the five lions. Its combined height is approximately 11 inches. It looks really slick. This is, you know, because we have not yet had any official Voltron Legendary Defender toys shown yet from Playmates or any other merchandise that shows this robot in a 3D form, a physical form. It's really exciting to see this on the LEGO Ideas site. So I want to encourage everyone out there to register with LEGO Ideas and show your support for both of these projects. And even more important than that, well, not even more important, but just as important, share this information with all your friends and family, anyone who's got an interest in LEGO or Voltron. Let's try to make these new projects happen.
That sounds great to me. I mean, you know, none of this gets made unless the fans ask for it.
Right. And Lendi is so incredibly talented. Lendi, if you're out there, you are the man, the myth, the legend. We're very impressed with your LEGO skills and talents. And let's make this work. Let's make this happen.
Who knows? It could lead to a job, Lendi. You never know.
Yeah. Best of luck to you, Lendi. And let's LEGO Voltron.
Yes. Let's give Lendi all of our support. All right.
Absolutely.
And we'll, of course, post those links on the podcast page for this podcast.
Great.
All right.
Yeah, I had one more item I wanted to jump on real quick. By the time this podcast airs, the auction will probably be over. But eBay has a listing right now on, as of July 12th, as we record this, for a 9-foot-tall replica of Panache Place Voltron. As you all know, I am a Panache Place junkie. The old school Voltron toys with the Star Wars sized action figures and all that.
Wait a minute. How many feet tall?
9 feet tall.
What's it made of?
I'm assuming wood primarily.
Wow.
Yeah, it is quite amazing. It's not exactly 100% authentic, but it looks really slick. Apparently, some years ago, this was built and in the UK, I might add, and used as a display piece and a toy store. And then in the intervening years, it's been disassembled and stored in someone's garage. As you might imagine, it takes up a huge portion of that garage. And so they're trying to sell it to an interested fan. This 9-foot-tall robot actually splits apart into 5 components. It doesn't fully transform into 5 lions, but the robot's arms and legs disassemble. And each of the limbs has an open compartment that can seat a small child. It is really neat to see. Apparently, at one point, it had functioning electronics. As I read in the eBay description, it used to have some lights that would light up. It would speak in some way, and one of its hands would move. It looks really cool. It's, again, in the UK, and they only want local pickup. The listing closes July 16th, and it had a starting bid of £50. I don't know if anyone has bid on it at this point. But it's very possible that if it doesn't sell, that it will be relisted. So maybe we'll see it out there again. It looks really, really slick. It's a bit of a walk from Ohio to the UK. So I don't see myself buying or picking this up. But wow, it looks cool. And if any Voltron fans out there in the UK want a real conversation starter or ender, depending on who you're talking to, this might be the perfect piece for you.
Wow. I just can't believe that. 9 feet tall.
Can you imagine? I mean, yeah, pretty slick.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And of course, on today's podcast, we have a very special guest with us. You know, you've seen some of the previous voice actors we've had. We've had Josh Keaton. We've had Neil Kaplan. But today, we have one of the premier characters in Voltron Legendary Defender, Princess Allura.
This is exciting stuff.
That's right. That's right. So I want to introduce her right now. She's the voice actor who does Princess Allura in Voltron Legendary Defender. You have also seen her in video games like Mass Effect. She played Ashley. In the Batman Arkham video game, she was Oracle. In Doc McStuffins, the animated show, she plays Mom McStuffins and also Surfer Girl. And in Steven Universe, she plays Jasper. I want to give a really warm Let's Voltron podcast welcome to Kimberly Brooks.
Hey, everybody. Hi.
How you doing, Kimberly?
I am great. How are you guys?
Now, I have a question. Do you go by Kim or Kimberly?
Oh, either one's fine.
Because I have a wife. I have a wife named Kimberly.
Oh, well, what does she go by?
Kim.
You can call me anything. I will respond to either.
Okay.
I have to tell you that awesome sounds really cheesy. So awesome. I think I'll just call you Kim. How's that?
Yeah, that's good. Kim works.
Yes.
I love it.
You have to know that Greg has a daughter that loves Doc McStuffins.
Oh, that's awesome. How old is she?
She's 4.
Oh, that's a perfect age. Yeah. It's a great show.
It really is.
A few years ago, I had done a phone screener interview with you for a Doc McStuffins DVD that was coming out at the time.
Oh,
I don't think you would remember.
Oh, wow. Wait, when was that? That was
like 2.5 to 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I think we did a lot of press for that when that show was coming out. It was very well received and still is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And they're trying to get a fifth season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a little controversy around that, but I think there's, you know, a lot of interest in making sure the show continues. So hopefully it will continue.
All right,
but yeah. we haven't heard anything yet. So
we'll keep our fingers crossed for that.
It is a great show.
Yeah, it's just such a positive, uplifting show. And really, there's been a lot of response from not just parents, but like doctors and people that work with children and saying how much it's really helped with kids going to, you know, doctor visits and things like that. So it's just a really inspiring show.
It really is. My daughter, she just loves it.
Oh, great.
Is there something else besides Doc McStuffins that people just gravitate to you right away and are always saying things to you about either the game or the animated show or whatever it is?
That's a good question. I would say pretty much right now, because Steven Universe is so popular and has such an amazing fan base and people really like the show, I would say Jasper and Steven Universe is a recognizable character. It's, you know, it's not a huge part, but she has a lot to do with the plot and things that are going on in the show. So fans really seem to like it, and I've gotten a lot of feedback on that. So Jasper's great.
And we should also let people know that you also have like promo and narration and other types of things that you do besides animation and video games, right?
Yeah, I try as a voice actor. It's great because you can do a lot of different types of voiceover in one day. You know, it's a lot different than on camera where you may be in one place all day long. I can do several jobs in one day, and that's my goal every day to get a lot done. But yeah, promo work and commercials, animation, video games is what I'm mostly doing.
Now, do you have your own home studio where you send some of those in or go on ISDN lines or something like that?
Yeah, I work from home a lot, especially with promo work. I do ISDN sessions. I'm not sure if everybody knows what ISDN is, but they use it a lot in radio stations for broadcasting. It's really a fancy telephone line. Mm-hmm. It's awesome for recording. I don't have to leave my house, my home studio, and I can get a lot of promo work done. So yeah, I do a lot, most of my auditions and a lot of my work from home. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, in the old days, the voice actors and the voiceover artists always used to have to go to the studios, and they didn't have this option of doing it from home.
Oh, I know. There's the famous Don LaFontaine story where he had the driver in the limo that would drive him. He was a very famous promo announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be driven to his sessions because he had so many sessions in a day and he couldn't do it all. And this is way before ISDN. So once ISDN came, he was, I think, the first guy that had it like at his house and had the studio and started working that way. And then that sort of set the template for other aspiring promo people like myself to have the home studio. And it's great.
Now, when you do promotional work, what kind of turnaround time do you have? Because I imagine that's pretty timely stuff, right?
Some things are really, you know, they need it like yesterday. A lot of stuff, because it's usually airing that same night or they're putting the spot together right then and there. And the voiceover is like the last thing that goes on. So it's, it can be pretty tight. It just depends on what the situation is. They call it the golden handcuffs because it's like just a blessing of a job to have a regular gig like this. But you kind of are stuck. You can't really leave. You can't travel unless you have like a portable studio, which a lot of other, you know, a lot of people are doing that as well with the portable studio. So you can pretty much do voiceover from anywhere. But a lot's changing. Technology is amazing these days with what you can do, where you can be, and the sound quality is great. So I'm loving doing all those kinds of promo jobs from home. It's great.
Now, what would be your perfect dream job?
I have my perfect dream job.
And it is?
It is Voltron, Princess Allura on Voltron. I mean, come on. I was thinking about this today, knowing that we were going to do this interview. You know, as an actor, you audition for these roles and you wait for the perfect role and everything to come along, you know, to line up. The stars to align and all that. And when it does, it's amazing. And that's what I feel like is going on with Voltron. Everything about it is just incredible. And it's my favorite role that I've ever had the opportunity to play. And who knows, it might be my favorite role that I ever get to do. So I'm just really enjoying it.
Well, we certainly enjoy watching the show and listening to your part in it. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much.
So I have to let you know, you've basically made everybody forget about the previous Allura almost, you know, just based on the fact that you've done this Allura so well.
Oh, thanks.
And based on the context of this storyline compared to the previous versions of Ultron and everything, we took this from a fresh perspective and we tried to encourage others to do the same thing. And we love it. Completely love it.
That's so nice. And, you know, and I really, it just sort of evolved. Like, I really had no idea what to sort of expect from Allura. And I went through the regular process like everybody else. I auditioned, and it was a long audition process because when I originally read it, there was no mention of any sort of accent or anything. It was just sort of a traditional princess. I think when I got the original audition, there may have been even a code name, so I wasn't sure 100% what it was. And then once I got a call back, then I knew what I was dealing with. But even still, you know, you don't really know how far these things are going to go. So,
sure.
Just having auditioned for the role, when I was asked to come in for the callback, they were like, oh, by the way, could you do like a British accent or something? And so I was like, oh, okay. And I tried my hand at that. And luckily that worked out. So I had no idea what to expect from Allura as far as what she was going to look like, what type of princess she was. And that all sort of came about once I was hired and we sort of worked through what they wanted for the character.
I imagine there's probably a lot about her that has not yet been revealed to you. Is that probably a true statement?
Yeah. Like who's my mom, for instance? For instance, could I
just... Oh, yeah.
For instance.
For instance. What's my backstory? I mean, you know what, though? In all fairness, I think Allura got a major backstory, major prop for the backstory.
Yeah.
There's so much depth to this character, and it's so awesome. I love all the flashbacks with her father and all that. So
when I first heard that she was going to be revived from a suspension chamber that she'd been in for 10,000 years, I thought, wow. I mean, that alone is a huge backstory, not just the length of time, but so many unanswered questions about
what life
back then. What was the planet like? It's just amazing.
Yeah, I wonder about that myself. Like, did she have a relationship with the paladins of old, as she calls them? What was her role other than being the princess and her father creating Voltron? How involved was she? I mean, obviously she was there when all of the chaos ensued and her father had to make this decision to cryogenically freeze her. Mm-hmm. But those are really important questions that I've been filling in a little bit on my own, but we don't know. There's a lot we don't know still about Allura.
Yeah.
So just during this first season alone, you awake from a 10,000 year sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad's gone.
Right.
But you have Karan.
Yes.
And then somewhere along the line, he springs this AI form of dad on you. And then all of a sudden, all of this comes back to you. And wow, I've actually got a connection to dad again.
Yeah, which is amazing. And I would say this is Altea. We're talking about alien life form. But I think it's really the emotions are so human-like. It's so similar. I just think of Alteans being like super advanced humans.
Sure.
So all of the emotions of those scenes were just so much fun to get to play. And to have just from the get-go of the show, these flashbacks with the father where we get to sort of see, like you said, she wakes up, we go through it with her, her discovery of what's going on. And then obviously everything that happens after that. It's really just rare to have so much depth in an animated series character like this.
Right.
I got to say that scene where Allura has to decide to basically end the life of her simulated father, the AI. It's gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
I mean, it reminds me of when people have terminal illnesses and families have to make the very difficult decision of whether or not to end life support or something like that. It's such a powerful scene.
Oh, I know. And the thing is, it's like I don't know these things until the night before when I get the script.
Wow.
And I'm reading it and I'm just like, I'm blown away and I'm thinking, how am I going to play this? And I'm thinking, this is just so cool. There's just so many levels going on here. And I just think I'm just one small part of this whole production, the artistry, the creativity, the writing. And then I get to come in and just, it's so much fun to get to just be a part of this teamwork. mm-hmm. to get, yeah, to get where we get with the show, which.
You guys really come together like Voltron.
Yeah, we do. We have to form Voltron. But I just feel like voice actors get so much credit. We just get to come and do the fun part. All the hard work is done before I even get there. All the writing and the storyboarding and the just, they started writing toward the end of this first season about like sort of with the actors in mind, with our sensibilities and our sense of humor. And just, it's really cool the way that the whole collaboration comes together.
And you've become really adept at talking to space mice.
Yeah. The space mice, she was so relieved to see them because it was just a slice of home.
That's right.
A slice of a memory that's real and tangible that's still there from Altea. Imagine everything being destroyed. And everything that was there was amazing and beautiful. So the loss is so great, but the mission is so much bigger.
Right.
So you have to, we have to go on.
And there was the one time that you were trying to get Pidge to come out with who she was.
That's a great scene.
It is.
And you said, well, we have something in common. We both lost our fathers. And
yeah.
Pidge says, yeah, but I'm going to get mine back.
Oh,
that
ouch.
Must have hurt.
Yeah.
Well, that just shows, and it's like the youthfulness of Pidge too. And just a kid missing their dad, just like the princess. Yeah, it's the human emotion, the human connections. I felt that. I was like, ouch, that really hurt to hear her say that and to have that realization that she's never going to see her father again.
Right.
And yeah, that's really deep.
But here's this other thing. You've got this power to be able to talk to the lions almost and to be able to, I don't know, heal an organism called the Balmera.
Mm-hmm.
Where does all that come from?
That's another one of my backstories with all of the right. quintessence. In fact, there's a part where I think it's toward the end. It's one of the last episodes. It may be the second to last episode when Allura is gone. She's been captured. And Quran says she left some residual essence in.
Right.
And at first I was like, that sounds kind of gross, actually. It sounds like sweat or something. Yeah. But then I realized that it's like, no, this essence and this quintessence, it's within me. And it's something that I shared with my father and something that I possessed and that he could use to help me communicate with the lions and the paladins communicate with the lions. And he was able to harness this quintessence. Obviously, we see how important quintessence is.
Yes.
Toward the end of this first season.
For both sides.
It's a valuable commodity. It's a sought after thing. And Allura has it inside of her.
She's like the Good Witch of the North or something like that?
Yeah. I never thought of that, but yeah, definitely.
The
anti-Hagar, who is played so brilliantly by Cree.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
She's just, I'm like such a huge fan of hers. It's crazy. But it's so great to work with her and everybody, all the cast. I'm just blown away. It's so great when we get to go in and record together. Because we do the scenes, we run the entire show. And that's just so rare in voiceover animation today because everybody's so busy. Even on this show, people are really, there's a lot of working actors on this show, but
sure.
There's a huge effort made to get as many actors in the booth recording at the same time as possible. And I think it's evident in the show, in the performances and the chemistry between the actors.
And Neil had said that was his favorite part, was those first two episodes, basically, where the whole cast was together.
Oh, yeah.
And that he got to learn so much from all of you.
Oh, gosh. And he scared the hell out of everybody in the ways of his. We're like, oh, my God, you're terrifying. So, yeah, it's
not so terrifying when he says, I'm a little teapot.
Yeah, he actually recited that in the Zarkon voice when
oh
he was
my
on.
God, I can't wait to hear that.
Yep.
Yeah. That's so funny because he's pretty evil with that Zarkon character. And this is the darkest guy in the universe. and he's power hungry.
I'm a little scared of you, though, when you're telling those lazy lumps to get moving, you got to form Voltron.
Yeah, that's funny because my daughter, we were watching it when it first came out, when we could binge watch it, which was so cool because seeing it all like that from episode one to episode 11 was just amazing. I was blown away. It was, they just did such a good job coming in and doing our lines. And even with ADR, you don't get to see the cohesiveness, the entire thing. So it was just so cool to see it that first time. Oh, but yeah. My daughter, coming back to that scene where she, Allura's bossing every round, she, you know, that was, I think that's episode two, right?
Yes. Some assembly required.
Yeah, some assembly. Exactly. And my daughter was like, I don't, Princess Allura is bossy and mean and I don't like her. And I was like, no, just wait. She's got a reason for doing this. She's just trying to motivate. But I think that scene and then the scene where the paladins are really trying to form Voltron for the first time. And Allura says, I believe in you. And she's like, form Voltron and doing all this. So I think that scene's hilarious because
I love that.
Yeah, she's being a little bratty. I mean, I know she's got the universe on her shoulders and all of this stuff, but there was a little bit of brattiness in that scene, and I thought that was hilarious.
She was the first to fling food in the food fight.
Exactly. It's like maybe she was an only child. Maybe she didn't have a lot of friends, and she had to go to boarding schools and be very princessy. And so I think there's a part of her that loves having these others around and having that sort of family feel. And even though she does ultimately have to be in charge, there's a part of her that's very kid-like. And she does have a little wicked sense of humor deep down in there underneath all of this drama that's going on.
I love when the space mice tell her about Pidge's secret and she's just giddy as a schoolgirl wanting to know the truth.
Exactly. Because it's like, some things are bigger than what's going on in the universe. Sometimes what's going on right in front of you, that's a big secret. The Pidge thing was a big secret. And there were tons of clues. And I don't know if people caught on. There was even a clue when they're trying to form Voltron. And it's and Karan says, you know, you can't have any secrets to right. form Voltron. And there's a cut to Pidge, who's got obviously the biggest secret at that point. She's like, well, Hunk's in my head. And all that stuff. And he's like, well, you can go in my head hole. I think that whole thing is just really great. There's a lot of those little moments that are just so nuanced with little clues leading up to that discovery, which I thought was great. And Bex is, wow, she is incredible. To play that so sort of androgynous sort of attitude and sound, and I don't know, I'm blown away by her too. So,
yeah,
and she's just like the coolest girl.
And the passion in her voice as she has Pidge go through all these emotions over the course of the season. Really impressive.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing.
Now, there was another surprise that you threw on us towards the end of the season.
Mm.
You're like a changeling, a chameleon. Where did that come from?
Again, like I said, I discovered that on the Wednesday night before our Thursday session, whenever we recorded that episode. And I was like, what? And that is so cool. Yeah, she's apparently Altaians are chameleon-like people that can take on the characteristics of the people around them. And so this characteristic she happened to take on was just big and badass. And the way she throws Shiro at the end into the pod is amazing.
Yeah, and the look that Shiro gave her was one of terror. He's like, what else do you have up your sleeve?
Exactly. And just her look, too, just their eyes meeting through that glass in the pod.
Oh, yeah, the parting shot.
The parting shot. That was very powerful. But see, that's what I mean. That's like, that's all animation. That's all writing. That's, I feel like I'm watching live action when I watch the show. It's just amazing what they've done.
They do it so well, you forget it's a cartoon.
You really, really do.
Even with all those anime-isms where you see all the thought balloon stuff above Hunk's head when he's, you know, maybe Voltron can form a serpent and all that other stuff.
Right.
But even with the stuff that is that lighthearted, to be able to get into really emotionally deep material is quite a range for this show.
Right. There's just so many levels to it, and it's going on at the same time. And I think that's why it appeals to so many different people, old fans, new fans, young. So I think it's got a little bit of something for everybody. And that's credit to, obviously, Joaquin and Lauren and Tim and everybody that works on the show that created this new version of the show. It's amazing to be a part of it.
Are you able to, when you watch this, you said you binged all 11 episodes?
Yeah, in one sitting.
Are you able to separate yourself out from Kimberly Brooks, actor, to just a fan and be able to watch it that way?
Well, I would say normally, no. No way. I'm too cerebral and I'm too critical of myself and performances, and I'm such a like movie buff and TV buff, and I watch too much, so I'm always criticizing and comparing. But this show is so cool and unique to me that the first time I watched it through, I just, since I hadn't seen it in such a cohesive way, and whenever we do our ADR sessions, really, they cue up just to the lines that we're doing. So I didn't know how it was going to all flow together. So seeing it for the first time like that, I actually was able to not be as critical and watch it from a fan perspective. And I loved it. Like, I loved it, which I never do. I never like anything. So it was just a weird feeling. Now, since I've gone back and rewatched it, of course, all I do is sit there and criticize my own performance. That's a given. But I really think all of the other actors are so flawless and so committed to their characters and so spot on with what they're doing. Jeremy, in the very beginning, who plays Lance, just from the get-go, just from when he's flying that simulator ship, just his cocky attitude, that whole scene in the beginning with them is just so funny to me. And it just sort of sets the tone for the humor of the show. And there's just so much great acting following all of that. So it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Yeah. And you guys gel together as a team pretty well here. I mean, is that something that you guys just immediately decide that's what we're going to do? Or is there somebody leading that and bringing you together that way?
I think some things are chemistry and synchronicity and serendipity and all of those things that you can't really control. It has to come together organically. Mm-hmm. And that has definitely happened in this situation. There are some things you can control, obviously casting. You have an amazing voice director like Andrea Romano, mm-hmm. who I'm sure everyone sings her praises because she's just my idol. She's one of the first voice directors I ever worked with who ever hired me, actually. Back on a show called Static Shock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was kind of dating myself. I really was going to date myself because I worked with Cree on Rugrats. I played her mom in a flashback on this Kwanzaa episode and it's really funny. So it's been a long time, but Andrea Romano is just, I just can't sing her praises enough. She's so good at what she does. Such a pleasure and a gift to have her in the booth because you know you're going to get your best work out of yourself. One, I just want to do well for her. I want to do well for myself. And the environment that she creates, it's fun. People are cracking jokes. It's lighthearted. And she has a way of just getting the best work out of everybody. And, you know, actors are all at different levels and different comfort levels. Some on-camera people may come in, they're not as comfortable doing necessarily being on the mic. She mm-hmm. just has a way of just massaging every situation and just making you feel like a pro and making you feel like you've done a great job. And she doesn't let you leave until you feel good when you leave there. That's what I'm going to say. And she's just excellent. She has shortcuts. She knows the language to speak to actors to get them to deliver what they need to deliver. Because you don't necessarily have all the information as an actor when you come in with voiceover and you're just doing one scene or you're just doing a couple of lines sporadically throughout the script. And she does such an amazing job of giving you the information that you need.
I've had the pleasure of interviewing her 5 times.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, I know based on what everybody has said about her that she knows how to get what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, yeah.
And here I am interviewing. I only get like 3 or 4 minutes with her at a shot, you know, and she is the calmest person, but she knows exactly what to say at all times because wow. she knows what she did, when she did it, how she did it,
right.
and who, you know, who she was working with. She's got that kind of mind that's just a steel trap.
That's what it is. It's like she's just so sharp and she's just so savvy. And I don't know. You just are when you're really good at something, everyone can just she's really sought after. So, yeah, I'm lucky I've worked with her quite a bit because I did a lot of stuff at Warner Brothers. And she was working at Warner Brothers on a lot of stuff for years and years and years. So,
yeah, I remember Tiny Toon Adventures and Animaniacs and oh, all yeah. that great stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's great to be under that umbrella of DreamWorks, Joaquin and Lauren, and Andrea. We're recording in the best studios in LA with great engineers. And it's just everything is wonderful on this show.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got it made.
Great. I know. That's what I'm saying. You said, what's my dream job? And literally, this is it.
Now, you heard about how DreamWorks was bought out by Comcast?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That won't have any effect on any of the work that goes on there at the studios,
you know,
right?
Surprisingly, I asked that of some of the people that are working on the show, and they don't seem to think that it will. I don't know. Like I said, I worked for NBC for a long time and they were bought out by Comcast.
Right.
And I did notice a lot of changes, but I don't know. I don't know how it's going to affect the creative aspect of what they do on Voltron financially, the budgets or anything. I have no idea. Hopefully it'll just get stronger and better and more reinforced. I think DreamWorks is just an awesome company. And I when I think of DreamWorks, I just think of really cool things. Hopefully that none of that will be touched.
Right. I wouldn't want to mess with your dream job.
Yes. Don't mess with my dream job, Comcast.
We have a little surprise for you here.
Oh, I love surprises.
Greg, do you want to cue this up for us?
Yes. So I told my daughter, Quinn, that mm-hmm. I was going to be talking with Kimberly Brooks, who gives the voice to Princess Allura and Mom McStuffins, and she wanted to ask you some questions. She's in bed now, but I recorded her asking some questions, and she was really proud of herself at the end when she heard them all played back to her. there are a couple questions of you. She asked then a couple questions of Princess Allura, and then a couple questions of Mom McStuffins. So she's going to get such a kick out of hearing your reply. So that's what we got coming up here.
I love it. That's great.
All right. So I'm going to play this and then pause it after each question, okay?
All righty.
All right.
Nice to meet you, Miss Kimberly. I'm Quinn and I'm 4 years old.
Oh my gosh. That is the cutest voice.
How do you make so many different voices?
Wow. Well, if I can make your voice, Quinn, then I'd be in business. Because you have the cutest voice I've ever heard. I just get really silly, and I think of I start with the character. I start with what the character's all about, and then somehow, magically, with lots of practice and rehearsal, I come up with voices that I think suit the character, and I have a lot of fun doing that.
Do you ever use the wrong voice by mistake?
Well, hopefully I have a lot of these voices tucked away in a secret place, but when I go in to record them at the studio, lots of times if I forget the voice, they'll play it for me again. They call that reference and they'll play the reference and then I can copy the reference. And that usually works really well.
This is for Princess Allura. How do you make the Castle of Lions fly?
Oh, that's a really good question. Because it's a castle, and you don't think of castles usually as something that flies. But I think my father, the king, was so brilliant, and all of the scientists that worked with him created this amazing castle to protect the princess and to protect the lions from the evil Zarkon. So he made it so that we could fly away and go and defend the universe and be where we needed to be.
How do you make the Voltron Force fight when they don't want to?
Well, sometimes the princess has to get tough. And she can get tough if need be. because there's a big job to do. We have to save the universe, and we have to practice, and we have to work as a team. So in order to do that, we need a leader, and we need to work together and with open minds and open hearts. And so I think Allura's way of motivating can be tough, but in the end, it's for a good purpose.
This is for Mom McStuffins. How do you take care of three kids?
Yeah, I do have my hands full as a mom of three kids, and I'm a doctor on top of that. So I'm taking care of other kids too. So luckily, little Doc McStuffins is pretty independent, and she helps me a lot. She helps me with the baby. She helps me with Donnie, and she helps me around the house. And so we can get a lot of things done. Also, her dad is there too. So as a family, we work together and we get everything done.
Do you ever talk to Doc McStuffins' toys?
Let me think about this question, because Mom McStuffins doesn't know that the toys can talk. So Mom McStuffins does not speak to the toys directly. So that's kind of a bummer, because I think she would get a kick out of it. But for some reason, I guess if adults know, well, the grandma knows. I don't know. For some reason, the mom can't know about these toys. But I can say I'm pretty happy because there is a Mom McStuffins action figure.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Didn't know that.
I did not know. And I actually got it not that long ago. It's actually all of the family. So there's the dad, the mom, and Donnie and Doc. It's the whole family. It's really cool. So, yeah, I'm not sure if I answered that last question perfectly, because mom has no idea what's going on. As in a lot of Disney shows, the parents are completely oblivious. But
okay.
But it's fun. It's fun. They have a good time. So
thank you for answering all my questions.
You are so welcome. That is the cutest little voice I've ever heard.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for those questions. That was awesome. I hope I answered that last question okay.
Oh, I think so. Thank you for doing that. She'll really get a kick out of it.
Oh, that's awesome. No problem.
Will Allura ever fly a lion?
I certainly hope so, because in the original she did. And there would be no reason for her not to fly a lion, except there's only five. So right now, I think she's very content to pilot the castle and to make sure that all things are in order. And maybe she aspires to be a pilot of one of the lions. But I don't know. I really don't know. I hope so. Yeah, we need girl power flying these.
Absolutely. I was thinking about you playing Oracle and Barbara Gordon and Batgirl and all this, mm-hmm. and it got me wondering, with your experience working with various characters like Luna and Scooby-Doo and all that, do you feel like there are certain characters that you are sort of the go-to person for when it comes to casting, like Oracle?
I wish that was the truth. I wish I was a go-to for something. I honestly just audition for everything like everybody else. And luckily I'm so blessed because I do work a lot and I've had so many opportunities to work on so many different things. And I just work really hard to get roles. And I wish I was more of a go-to. So well, no.
I think going forward, the go-to for Allura, and that's good enough for me.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, like, for instance, with this last Oracle, the last Batman game that came out, mm-hmm. I was not asked to be Oracle again, and I have no idea why. I know. I have no idea why. I don't know anything about it. I know it was a new sort of production and a new director and stuff, but a lot of characters came back as themselves. I think some characters switched. I heard maybe Troy, is it Troy? Somebody was doing a different character than they did before, but
Troy Baker.
So that, yeah, I think Troy, but the point that I'm trying to make is that completely hurt my feelings because I have no idea why I wasn't asked back as Oracle. So when you say, are you a go-to? It's like, not necessarily. Some people might see me that way that have worked with me and maybe have liked what I've done in the past, but okay. No, it's still cutthroat out there.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask one more question because There is one character that you work probably more closely with in this show than any other character, and that's Karan.
Oh, yeah.
You've probably had a lot of scenes with Reese.
Oh, yes.
What's he like?
Just a charming, hilarious, just off the cuff, can come up with, just have everyone in the room on the floor. And I think he has so much fun playing Karan because the character is just so out there. And they write these wacky, like, they just come up with words. I don't know where they come up with these words. And it's almost like they just want to see what Reese is going to do with these expressions just words that don't even really exist. And he gets a lot of freedom to play with it. And he's just so funny. He's brilliant on this show. And I love the relationship between Karan and Allura because she completely depends on him and she would be lost without him. And they depend on each other and they're all they have
right.
that's
right.
left. So it's a really special relationship. And obviously King Alfor chose Karan for a reason to freeze as well, along with Allura. So that's another backstory question. Like, what was a relationship before all of this happened?
Right.
Because maybe they didn't have to be working so closely together, obviously, because there was a lot more going on in other people and the Paladins. But she completely relies on him. And I think it's a great character. And he is just magnificent in this role. So funny.
Yeah, he is.
Thank you for that.
Oh, sure.
We have a bunch of questions from the fans that sent them in online.
Cool.
The first one is coming from Angel.
All right.
My question for Kimberly Brooks is, King Alfor was a very gentle and kind father. What can you imagine Allura's upbringing was like to create the strong-willed, fierce warrior princess that she is?
That is an amazing question because it's true. And I think what's great is we're seeing different sides of Allura. So I think she has that same side of her that her father had, with the gentleness, because you see it, it's evident when she's talking to her father in the flashbacks and she's having memories of how it used to be when she didn't have these stresses in her life. So she could be relaxed and have fun and just be lighten up a little bit.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I'm assuming her mother.
Okay.
Probably, maybe, who knows, had a warrior side. But, you know, there was a lot of fighting and battling going on, so I'm not really sure. Maybe she was dating a paladin, and she I don't know, and she, of old, one of the old paladins.
Right,
I don't know, I'm just throwing stuff out there. I have no idea, but I think she had to find her strength, and it comes out slowly. I mean, she's very unsure of herself in the beginning, and she doesn't know what to do, and she wants her father to make the decisions, and then there's just that moment. There's that moment where she realizes it's kill or be killed. We have everything to lose. So the stakes are high. And I think she just rises to the occasion.
All right. Our next question is from Cubbyberry, and she's from Australia. How did you create Allura's unique Arusian accent? It doesn't sound Aussie or British, but complements well with Rhys Darby's Kiwi accent.
Well, it doesn't sound British or Aussie because it's Altaian, which means it's perfect the way I do it because I made it up. No, I'm just kidding. It sort of evolved out of sort of a British combo mixed with a little bit of what Karan is doing. So I just felt like I had permission to sort of make it my own. Because once we sort of found it, we liked where Allura ended up. So it's fun and it is challenging. And there's an amazing actor named J.B. Blanc. And I don't know if you know who he is, but he's one of my best friends because he worked with me. We had several sessions, even Skype sessions. So I would get my script and we would go over some of my lines and he would just help me because he's an excellent actor and an excellent dialect coach. And he does a million accents himself. And wow. So it was really great. I went over to his place and we worked on it a few times. And then we had a few Skype sessions and then I got comfortable with what I was doing and he gave me some little tips and things. So it's not perfect. Like I said, I go back and I look at it and I'm like, there are certain things, but overall the essence of Allura, I think, comes through, and the accent really just sort of helps with just who she is and her regalness and her breeding and all that sort of thing. So I think it's really fun to play that because she doesn't stay that way for very long. So it's cool to get to have more action and more cool things to do. But the accent just makes it fun. It's a challenging, but it is fun.
Would we be able to hear just a little taste of that accent right now?
Oh, yeah, that's always challenging too, because usually I have my script and I work on it and I'm like, what lines does Allura say? Well, I always start to get myself in by saying Karan's name. So I always start with, Karan, where are we going? Or, you know, something like that, you know, to get me started, to just sort of get that tone of where she is. But I wish I could think of a line to say. How about when she comes in and she's upset that they're, you know, what are you doing laying around? You're supposed to be training, you know, that sort of thing. She's kind of bossy, but she has a really sweet side too. So,
yeah, one thing that we noticed in that one episode we were talking about was how many times she says form Voltron, because you need to form Voltron.
Exactly. Yeah. Form Voltron. And she and they don't do it when she says it. You know, it's got to be Shiro. She wants it to happen, but she doesn't have that power. They have to do that on their own. Yeah, I think that sequence is hilarious because she sort of goes overboard with how much she says it, I think.
One thing I admire about when you adopt the Allura accent is it's not just an accent. There's some quality in your voice that also shifts.
It's weird.
I love it. It's such a unique sound.
And it's very regal.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's her upbringing. And I think when you're brought up as a princess, that's going to be in you. So I try to approach it from that, because who doesn't want to be a princess?
Right, yeah.
I like how you guys are both like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter and I, we play all sorts of princessy things. So, yeah. Although I'm usually not a princess.
Yeah. And my daughter is like anti-princess. So she's like a complete tomboy.
Oh, wow.
And so she has no interest in princesses at all. It's kind of funny, but that was a really good question.
Okay.
The accent, because I know that people do want to know about the accent and everything. And it sort of just evolved. And I like her. I like the way that Princess Laura gets to have so many aspects to her.
She has a lot of unique qualities.
Yeah, she really does. And that's so rare.
All right. Well, let's continue on here. This is a follow-up question.
Okay.
With Voltron having a global fandom, what advice or inspirational words would you give to Voltron fangirls who are listening right now to the podcast who, like myself, are also women of color?
Well, never take no for an answer. Persevere. And being different and unique is a good thing. We've seen a million blonde-haired, blue-eyed princesses that sort of have that same demeanor. And it's just great to have a character that is a little bit unique, something that we're not used to seeing. And it is inspiring for all different types of people that aren't what you normally see in the mainstream. And I think, you know, there's a trend, you know, it's not just the show. There's a lot going on that in entertainment that is representing a more broad spectrum of people, you know, that we're used to seeing. So I'm very happy to be a part of that. I'm not taking it so seriously as this is going to like change anything or this is, you know, some sort of groundbreaking thing. But I just think it's cool that the entire cast of Voltron is very diverse, you know. And I mean, I still don't know what hunk, like, you know, he's got some dark skin. And Shiro, some people think Shiro is Japanese. Some people think Shiro is I don't know. So I think it's really cool that people identify with characters that represent them, you know, not just what we have been used to seeing. So to me, all of that is just gravy. It's just the icing on top. So it's wonderful to have girls look up to you that aren't used to being represented. Yeah. So I love that. I say thank Lauren and Joaquin and whoever came up with, because I don't know what happened first. I don't know if when I went in and I read and they, for whatever reason, they liked what I did, they decided that they were going to make Allura look a little bit more representative of what I am, or if they already knew they wanted her to be something different. And I don't want to say African-American. She's not African-American. She's Altaian. Okay. That's the other thing. But, and in Altaia, they're not caught up in what people look like. That's not, that's very much an Earthling thing. But I think it's cool that we here on Earth decided to represent like that on the show. And I don't know. I really do want to have that conversation with Lauren and with Joaquin about that process. And because I did hear that there was another actress already in there recording before I was hired.
Oh, wow.
I have no idea who it is or what the sound was or anything like that. So that would be kind of interesting to find out.
Okay. Yeah. Wendy C. asks, I was surprised and very impressed with the accent you did with Allura because your speaking voice is so much different.
Yeah.
And she wanted to know how much input you have on your accent, or were you directed to speak a certain way? So you've already gone through that, basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much we answered all those. But yeah, I was asked to do an accent, and they liked it, and then it stuck.
Right. Right. So the next question comes from Rakipin. All right. Rakipin says, hi, Kimberly. I'd like to know your thoughts on the relationship between Princess Allura and Pidge. What does Allura think of Pidge, and how would you like to see their relationship develop in the future? They are both such great characters. I'd love to see more interactions between them.
Me too. Pidge, well, I say this. Pidge is one of my favorite characters, and I love Bex. I just love the way she plays it. She's just so natural. I don't know how else to say it. Just... she, and it just comes out of her, and it's just like she's like you're having a real conversation with her. I think that there should definitely be some more interaction between Pidge and Allura, and hopefully there will be. Hopefully there'll be a lot more Voltron. Fingers crossed, because they're the two girls on the ship.
Right.
They do have a lot. They do have that in common. But I think Allura sees Pidge as a paladin first. I think the mission is so big and important in what they all have to do. So I think that kind of comes first when their defenses are down. They hopefully will bond in that kind of girly way. Although, you know, Pidge seems very comfortable with computers and technology and right. Those things. Those are the things that really interest Pidge. It's funny because I had a fan ask me about, will Princess Allura be in more princess clothes? Like more, like, will we see some like princess outfits? And I'm like, I don't know if that's her vibe now that she's, you know, mingling with the paladins and stuff. I don't know if she wants to put herself in this, I'm a princess kind of place and with her clothes and all that stuff. So right, it's really interesting, but I don't think that Pidge and Allura are going to bond over fashion. Okay. I don't think that's going to be what they're talking about, but yeah. I think it's just really cool that we are the two females on the mission. And so we need to explore that for sure.
Okay. The next question is from Cielo Caballero. My first language is Spanish. And since I'm just learning English now, thanks to Voltron,
oh, awesome.
I want to say that Princess Allura is one of the most easy to understand. Your voice is so soft and sweet. So yeah, she is one of my favorites to hear. Here's my question. Which character would you like to date if they were real?
Oh, geez.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay. Thank you so much for the compliment. I really appreciate that. Who would I like to date for real? Like me, Kimberly, or just who I think Allura would want to date?
If probably the characters same. Were real, who would you want to date?
I kind of have a little bit of a Keith thing, I got to say. I like the mysterious kind of brooding thing that he does. He's my type, Keith. Yeah, And I'm not just talking about Steven Yeun, because yes, okay, he's my type too, but that's a whole other thing. He's awesome. He's just so cute, because I think Lance comes on way too strong. Allura would never go for that,
right?
And Shiro is a little too predictable. and he's got something going on too. I think there's something about Keith that's just a little mysterious. I don't quite, haven't quite figured him out yet. And I think that's alluring. No pun intended.
So then to turn the coin then, what about Allura? Do you think there's anybody that might be of her interest?
I think that Allura has got it going on. And I think any guy that's smart would recognize how amazing she is. You know, she's got it all, really.
Oh, yeah.
And she really is the owner of these, the castle and the lion. So that's kind of a big curse. What do you call that? But I don't know. I think she's really focused on the mission. I don't think dating's even really on Allura's mind. And Lance, he reacts to any female he sees. Even his reaction to Pidge when he finds out that Pidge is a girl, he's like, how could this be? Because, you know, my radar is on and I'm always, you know, looking for girls. So it's just kind of funny. That's a funny moment. Yeah, I think Laura's really focused on this mission, on just saving the universe and what's going on right now. So I don't know. I just don't know. I think everyone would be into her, but I don't know what she would do.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good question.
All right, Rookies78 asks, seeing as how the Allura we see in the show is such a multifaceted and brave character, what do you imagine her early life to be like, and how was she raised by her parents and maybe even Karan?
I think she had a very happy childhood. I think, yeah, Karan was definitely a part of her life. She was full of promise. She loved her family. She loved being a princess. She loved everything that was going on. So she had everything was great. Everything was groovy. And then Zarkon, because, you know, King Alphor and Zarkon obviously had a relationship that went bad. I think up until that point, everything was great. She finds herself in the situation now where she's figuring it all out, putting it all together, and then also having to solve this overwhelming, huge problem that's going on in the universe. That's life or death. You know, having that foundation, I think, helps her have the strength to go on. And obviously the memory with, you know, going back and being able to talk to my father, those things really help her. I think that foundation is what gives her the strength to do what she needs to do.
Okay. Shambhavi Kadam asks, what are your hopes for Allura's evolution over the course of the series?
That's another great question, because, you know, everyone wants their character to have a great arc and to have an evolution and have all these things happen. So I would hope that she continues to fight and she continues to get stronger and more confident and more of a cohesive family with the Paladins, and that hopefully eventually she too can pilot one of the Lions and be even more a part of the actual battles. And we see that she's strong. We see this in that last episode and how fearless she really is. So I hope that continues.
Okay. This question is from Penny. The biggest difference between you and Allura's personality?
I wish I was Allura. Strong and in control. I mean, I'm a Leo, so I have a little bit of that leadership strength and quality in me. I'm a mom, so I have to, you know, I have to be a leader at times. Maybe we're more alike than I realize. Maybe that's why this role is so much fun to play and kind of, in a weird way, easy. I don't mean easy like, I just mean like it's, there's an ease about it. There's just, I'm relaxed in a way that I usually am not when I'm working on something so hard.
Well, you said you're very cerebral.
I'm extremely cerebral. And that is not a good thing. I'm saying I just overthink stuff.
Okay.
I know that.
But so maybe that's a similarity. I think definitely Allura is like that. So I'm not really answering this question very well. I think we're more alike than anything. Wow. I'm giving myself a huge compliment right now. Because I just love Allura. I mean, just the way she handles the stress and the way, I mean, even in the initial realization that, you know, everything she has known and loved has been destroyed, and she still has to find the strength to go on. And I feel like, not to get too personal, but I've had some things in my life happen that I've had to overcome when I was younger, and I feel like I'm way stronger because of it. So I think that's a really important thing to recognize about myself. And maybe by playing Allura, I am recognizing that I do have a lot of similarities to her.
Okay.
That's great.
All right.
That's a good question.
Yeah. We're getting another question that's similar to the other questions in that it talks about finding the right accent and tone for Allura's voice.
Mm-hmm.
But Chrono Ben wants you to pronounce castle as Allura does all the time.
Oh, castle, the castle. She doesn't say castle. That's very butchered. Castle. There it is. And she does say it quite a bit. So.
Yes.
Now, going back to the similarity between you and Allura, would you do you have the ability to make your house fly?
No, I wish I did.
Okay, just wondering.
It requires a certain crystal.
Yes.
I wish I could make my car fly over this LA traffic.
That's
where I would use that power there. That's where I would use that power if I had it. Because I'm always in the traffic.
Okay. ZW Monkey has a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever fall into an Allura voice while doing day-to-day things?
Definitely. It comes up. It comes up. Allura situations come up a lot. And I do find myself breaking into a quick Allura for a moment. But, you know, basically when I was really trying to get comfortable with the accent and her personality and stuff, I was working on it a lot. And I would just, especially before a session, I would just sort of try to be her for a little while just to, you know, have conversations as Allura just so I could get comfortable. So, yeah, I do. I do that sometimes.
So you're out picking up your dry cleaning and you know you gave them 3 shirts, but they're only giving you 2 back. Now, what does Allura say to that?
I gave you 3 shirts. Where's the other one? And the thing is, I'm like, they don't know that I'm not all tan, for real. They don't know that this accent isn't real. So, I do. They don't know me. That's the great thing about voiceover. People don't recognize you when you're walking down the street. It's awesome. and then every once in a while, someone will recognize my voice. And I think that's really cool. I'm like, wow, I can't believe you recognize me from whatever. I love that. I love when that happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Nora Broderick asks, I really only have 1 question. In another interview, you talked a little bit about how much Allura's new design meant to you.
Mm-hmm.
She's wondering if I can ask you about Allura's new design and the fan reaction to it.
Well, it's what I've seen from the fan reactions, what people have contacted me has all been positive. And I was actually a little bit afraid because I'm not really a social media person. I'm trying to be. And so I've, you know, have my accounts and everything, and I've gotten a ton of fan response, and it's been just amazing. I've been so thrilled and happy with interacting with fans and getting feedback, and most of it, 99% of it's been people really just love the show, not just me or whatever, but just the entire show and all the characters. And so that's been really positive. As far as Allura, just my reaction to Allura, it was so kind of them the way they did it too. It was like sort of this big build up because at this point, when we were recording season 1, we hadn't seen any of the characters. So the first time when we had our ADR session and I saw Allura, I literally teared up because, first of all, she's just exquisitely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I had no idea what she was going to look like. So her skin tone, they just made her so beautiful and graceful and all of those things. So it was so much more than I had ever imagined. And then I felt this thing of like, wow, we have what people will see as a, basically a black princess. Mm-hmm. And that was that. I just felt so proud, and I just couldn't wait for everyone to see her and see what the reaction is. And it's been great. So I don't know, maybe there's people who loved the original who may, you know, maybe were a little bit disappointed. I actually haven't heard that at all. I don't know. I think it's exciting. I think she's beautiful. And she is obviously multifaceted and has so many levels to her. A lot more than they gave in the original, for the original. And I love BJ Ward. She's one of my idols too. I actually have worked with her on Scooby-Doo, believe it or not.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah. So she's awesome. She's an amazing singer, super talented woman. And I think she's incredible. So I'm happy that they gave Allura so much depth besides her beauty to play. So yeah, I was blown away. Blown away.
So do you think the cosplayers are finding it hard to get the ears to fit just right?
I think there's so many amazing cosplay, you know, fans out there that just work so hard and are so meticulous about getting every detail. I know they're going to nail the ears.
What do you think about the facial features? I noticed that Allura and Coran both have these markings on their faces. I wonder if have they explained to you whether that's a like a biological thing, or if it's some kind of an ornamental makeup thing or tattoos?
Yeah,
or
no one has explained that to me. I just think it's an Altaian thing. I don't know. I'm gonna find out about that.
Okay,
that's
awesome.
A really good question. But it's definitely an Altaian, and there's no other Altaians around to sort of see if it's like, you know, if it's something everyone has, or if it's like maybe it's a royal thing. I don't know. See, there's a lot of backstory questions. That's
no
another
doubt.
One. Well, that's a good one.
You're going to love this question then. This is the last question, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's from Kirsten. And it is Allura asexual?
I don't think so. I don't know. I just don't think that would be the choice. I feel like...
You think she's going to develop some type of relationship somewhere down the line here?
I feel like there's so many opportunities that, well, hopefully, but you know, because some people think of that as a sellout, you know, like a, well,
yeah.
Of course she has to have a romantic thing, but I think she's such a complex character that it would be okay if that was introduced. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't know why. I don't really know the answer to that question. It's just me. From me, I feel like she's going to want a family, and she's going to want all of, you know, these things eventually, even though her entire civilization has been destroyed. That's a really good question. I don't think so, though.
Okay.
I don't know how to answer that question.
It's a tough one.
It is
yeah,
a tough
no doubt.
One. Because what is the percentage of people that are asexual? It's a very small percentage of people, right?
Right.
I would think so, yeah.
So...
Is that the space mice behind you there?
No, it's a bird outside my window. But it is chirping exactly like a space, like the space mice do.
Okay.
Good call.
Okay.
Good one. Well,
right.
That was the last question. Well,
yes.
I wish I could have answered that a little bit more directly.
Well, that's okay.
I just see love in her future, but I don't know why. I just do.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I want it.
Well, there's a lot of fans out there who are shippers, and they want to see, you know, relationships develop between
oh,
the characters,
sure.
You know?
For sure. Well, I mean, there's a lot of great relationships on Voltron that, and I'm talking about romantic relationships, but like the relationship between... My favorite to watch is between Lance and Keith. I just think that whole like competition thing that they got going on and just outdoing each other. And then they finally have to, you know, at the end when Keith has to sort of save Lance and he's like, I cradled you in my arms. I love all of that stuff between them. I mean, there's no, obviously that's not a sexual thing or a romantic thing at all. It's just, there's a lot of good relationships going on. And so, I don't know. It's just fun. There's a lot of fun character banter.
You know what? I don't hate you right now.
That's a great line.
It's such a great line. It's yeah. such a great line. There's yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to and hopefully, God willing, there's a season two and we see where these relationships go from there.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I really want to thank you for sticking with us. Wow, this has almost been 2 hours now. So
I am so delighted. This was so much fun, and you guys are awesome, and you made me feel so comfortable. Because I just get nervous that I'm not going to have like the right answers, and you guys just made it so much fun and really, really easy.
Thank you.
So thank you for that.
And we do it all for the fans.
Oh, I know. And the fans and involved with Voltron, the Voltron. I don't know what you call it, the Voltron nation, the Voltron world, people that really appreciate it have been amazing. Because I was a little bit scared with the social media thing because I know people can be mean when they feel like they have some sort of power and they're, you know, behind the computer or whatever. But I've never felt so much love ever for anything I've ever worked on. And people just genuinely love Voltron and you know the whole world that's been created, and I'm so blessed and proud to be a part of it, and I'm so grateful to people who have emailed me or you know whatever Twitter what do you call it sorry tweeted and whatever different wonderful positive things about Allura, and I am just really grateful for that. So thank you.
We're grateful to you for your involvement in this show. It's been so much fun, and we look forward to watching more episodes if they do come around.
They better come around. I hope so.
I know.
I know.
And hopefully we can meet up with you at places like San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con or other places.
I would love it.
If you can get your convention person going.
I got to get that happening for sure, because I would love to get out. It's so great to meet face-to-face with people who appreciate the show and just are excited about it. And, you know, I'm just as excited as the fans. So it's really cool to just to share in that with people. And hopefully, New York would be – New York Comic-Con is in October, and hopefully we can get something together for that.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
It would.
Yeah, and it was great seeing you at WonderCon too.
Oh, yeah. That was really exciting, to the original announcement for the show. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, we need more of those.
Okay. Well, we're hoping to see you sometime soon in the future again. And you're always, always, always welcome back on this show.
Oh, thank you so much. You guys are doing such a great job. I'm sure the fans are so grateful that you guys are doing this. So keep up the good work. Take care.
Well, that was really something special to be able to talk to Kimberly Brooks about the entire first season of Voltron Legendary Defender and her character, Allura, and just some of her thoughts. These are only her thoughts. These aren't necessarily the writer's thoughts about, you know, what may have led to Allura, you know, being the way she is in this story.
Yeah, what an insightful interview, and what a class act Ms. Brooks is.
It definitely.
I'm so glad we got a chance to speak with her. And you know, I think you'd agree with me, Mark, that everyone we've spoken to about this new series has been a top-notch person and a joy to interview. But Ms. Brooks, wow, I'm kind of speechless, which is hard for me to say.
Yeah, well, she has a long career, you know, in voice acting, just like, several of these people have had. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I think really sets her apart is the fact that she has said that she is not one of those go-to people for a specific type of voice in any way, shape, or form. She has so many different styles of voices. And the thing about it is even when they had started to ask for people to read for Princess Allura, she had done it in a normal, you know, American accent.
Mm-hmm.
And then they heard hers and they still did a callback for her and then asked her to make it a little bit more British.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, she made it not so much British, because the fans themselves noted this. It wasn't so much British. It wasn't so much Australian or anything like that. It was in a class of all its own, and even Kimberly Brooks herself said, it's Altaian.
Yeah. I'm still amazed how different her Allura voice is from her natural speaking voice. Now, every voice actor is a person of many voices, but, you know, I love animation, and the Looney Tunes cartoons are among my favorites. And of course, Mel Blanc voiced so many of those characters, right. But you do notice similarities, you know, across some of those voices, especially when they're all in the same cartoon. But hearing Kimberly Brooks' natural speaking voice and then her Allura voice juxtapose as we did in this interview, it's sometimes difficult to believe they're coming out of the same mouth, isn't it?
Right. And,
wow.
And you know, well, Neil Kaplan had so many different voices.
Oh, gosh,
Josh,
yes.
Keaton has different voices. Kimberly Brooks has different voices. You're going to get that, you know, with all the voice actors that we come through here. They are actors,
yep,
first. And then they're able to take the character that they see and the description that they're given, and they're able to, like, turn it into a voice that isn't their own.
I've always been amazed by that. I mean, you know, when we spoke with Neil Kaplan, I was breaking into my own ridiculously silly voices, which don't compare in any way to anything Neil Kaplan or any of our professional voice actors can do. But I do that because I'm so astounded by the talents of these fine professionals. Kimberly Brooks is certainly no exception. She's just phenomenal.
And I think, you know, as we go along through the seasons that we're hopefully going to get.
Yes, let's all hope.
That we're going to see a much deeper look at Princess Allura and, you know, where she came from, you know, what it was like before that 10,000 year sleep, you know, on Altaia, mm-hmm, with her father. And we haven't, like Kimberly Brooks said, we haven't heard anything about her mother.
Right.
You know, so we don't know how she got to be the person she is.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an exciting ride.
Yeah, I remember very early on when we were talking, just speculating about what this series might involve for the various characters. And I think I even thought, gee, I hope Pidge is a girl. But in the same conversation, I and I've said this before about other Voltron series, I've often thought that Allura has the most potential as a character to be something truly unique and special. And of course, all of these characters have a lot to offer. But I love that we're already, just through the glimpse that we've had over 11 episodes, seen such a strong, rich, and deep character. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what the writers have in store for her and the other characters.
And even though she didn't say it primarily out loud, I think we already knew from what she had said on Twitter that scene where she had to say goodbye to her father for the last time, even though it was her father's AI,
mm-hmm,
was the most riveting scene for her.
Yeah, and I think that certainly the last episode with the ending and, you know, where are things going to go was big for viewers, obviously, but I think that scene had probably the most emotional punch of any of the scenes across the 11 episodes. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That was so powerful.
A lot of people were crying.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So, you know, this whole podcast has been just another amazing ride with another amazing guest.
Yeah.
And we hope to get, you know, the rest of the voice cast in here, you know, in the coming months. So we're definitely going to try to get every single one of them.
That's
and
awesome.
All we have to do is start talking to them and say, hey, come on the podcast. You know, three of the cast members have already been here. The rest of you need to join up with us here.
So, yeah, let's hope that it unfolds that way. I've certainly gotten a kick out of the talking with the folks that we've chatted with so far.
And of course, everybody out there who listens to the podcast, make sure you share everything that you've heard on this podcast across social media. Tell your friends, you know, friends that are close to you, friends that are far away from you. Let everybody know about the podcast, because this is where it's at. You know, this is where you're going to get the most Voltron Legendary Defender after that 11 episodes were dropped on Netflix. You know, there's lots of things to look forward to, and we're going to cover it all here.
Yes, including the amazing miniseries coming out from Lion Forge Comics, the 5-issue series, I believe it is. Looking forward to reading that and going over that with you and with the fans out there. This ought to be a lot of fun, too.
Right, so we're going to go over that comic series, and we're also looking forward to, you know, reviewing everything that we saw at San Diego Comic-Con. So
yes,
that's going to be our next episode, the San Diego Comic-Con review.
Sounds great. I'm very much looking forward to hearing what Mark has to say. Have a safe and fun trip to San Diego Comic-Con, Mark.
All right. And we'll see you all next time on...
Let's Voltron!